that radio dial. Even if your ears are splitting, we're going to adjust our volume levels and stick with Bathroom Spears broadsides. Yes, you're with Robert Norse. It's Civil Rights for the Poor every Sunday from 11 to 1:30. Today we're going to have special interviews with John Vance of Berkeley on the crackdown on the Telegraph Avenue and Shattuck areas. Kate Wells remembering Shanalini and giving us the grim news about the Brian Andrus surrender. We're going to be hearing, if we can find the tape, Peter Marin in Santa Barbara talking about a strange victory there, or a potential victory around a sleeping band struggle. And we have our own ongoing sleeping band struggle here in Santa Cruz. We're going to be talking about the November 24th City Council meeting. Will be a watershed when the new City Council comes in. If they put the sleeping band on the agenda, it could be a new day or a new night for homeless people in Santa Cruz. If they don't, November 25th, the next day, I recommend hitting the streets in order to bring the issue home to the community. Street Spirit newspaper, or perhaps for leading the anti-police violence rally, which commemorated Happy John Vine, the untimely death he suffered at the hands of Officer Tom Curry of the Santa Cruz Police Force. We'll be talking about that. We'll be doing lots of street interviews, plus a special report from Trust, Tenants' Rights here in Santa Cruz. Will the new City Council move to act on rent control and abuses by local judges? Maybe that's our job. Stay tuned.
Remembering again that officer, was it Berkeley?
Yeah.
He's the fellow who told you that he would prefer a bullet in your head to a lunch on the town. Or what did he say?
Well, he said the only way to control the homeless is to shoot him.
He said if it was up to him, he'd put a bullet in all our heads. He said that'd be the only way that could control the homeless.
You both heard this?
Yeah.
And again, your name is?
Woody.
And you?
I'm Bobby.
You heard this how long ago?
What, last week, dude?
Yeah, last week. Is when you were woken up at your campsite?
Yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
You've been sleeping at a new campsite, I take it?
At the ocean. We went to the ocean.
Now, you know. It's a lot safer out there. We ain't been fucked with yet.
We went to the ocean.
We're stuck in the low leg.
Thank you. We're talking about me and about Santa Cruz.
Dave.
And D.D., what do you mean by suggesting that Santa Cruz is going in the wrong direction? Just what are you trying to say? Come out and spit it out, will you?
Well, it's always had a homeless problem since...
they won.
Because people like yourself and this vicious what's-his-name cluster all over the streets, making it difficult to walk past for all our good citizens.
Oh, no.
No?
No. Well, I mean, look, the cops were out here yesterday giving the kids a ticket for obstructing traffic on the sidewalk.
You saw this yourself?
Yeah.
Like yesterday, we're talking on Sunday evening?
Yep.
And what did you see?
They gave them tickets for obstructing the flow of traffic on the sidewalk.
What were they doing?
Hackensack.
So Hackensack has come back, so to speak.
Well, that's... They were just a bunch of kids hackensacking on the street.
And now, you're talking about yesterday, last night. And how many Hackensack tickets were given out?
You got one too?
No. How many did they put out?
I don't know. It was like...
Six of us found.
I mean, last night.
I don't remember about last week.
No, I'm talking about last night.
What about the night? What was it? Night four?
Well, I'm talking about last night. Do you remember last night specifically? Because I've been following this other night, so I was wondering about Sunday night. What happened?
There's about four tickets.
About four tickets. And was Officer, what do we call him?
Officer
Headley. They call him Hostel Headley or Headless Headley or whatever. It's a number of. Digs have been made at this poor officer's expense when he's only trying to do his job. So Dave, you said that
why is he doing his job by just harassing people that don't have any money to begin with?
Well, maybe it's a way to give them a good kick in the butt and tell them to become a part of a growing system.
Well, society is for...
A growing system.
Well, society is for people who believe in society.
I see. One of those counterculture types, aren't you? The 60s are over, man.
Oh, no. Is that a Hackensack ticket?
A bicycle instead of a headlamp ticket. It's just been handed to me by the vicious demon. The man with the longest bicycle in the world, or at least perhaps in Santa Cruz, carries his own garbage disposal unit with him. Shocking, I might say. Shocking. He got this ticket from Officer...
In the old days, I was Dirty Dave. At a night, walking all night. And they arrested me and put me in jail just for speaking on the microphone.
When was this?
In late 80s.
Which microphone?
KOME, 985.
You are a notorious character, eh, Dave?
A notorious character. I was Dirty Dave. The nastiest nighttime DJ around.
I see. Well, here we are. Dusk is falling again, Dave. And I don't see any police officers getting rid of these. So you actually saw a Hackensack game yesterday. I need to repeat it because you're the first person who's mentioned it. I heard about the...
And there was one the day before, too.
On Halloween.
On Halloween. And the night before Halloween.
Now, wait a minute. You saw all these games?
Yeah. All these games.
Did any of them escape unscathed?
No.
Now, wait a minute. It's hard for me to believe you saw the tickets of each of these separate games. Be honest now.
Three separate nights.
You're talking about Sunday night, Saturday night, and Friday night?
Friday night. Standing right there.
You were standing at Cottontail?
Yes.
Distance from the activity.
Well, you got to.
And you saw the police officers issuing tickets? Or
tickets for hacky-sacking, obstructing flow of traffic on the sidewalk.
Wow. But you have no particular stats on the...
Who knows? But I think, is that a ticket?
Well, this is a ticket for a bicycle for the headlamp.
Oh, my headlights.
No, it looks like a headlight to me, but I could be a headlight rather than a headlight. Ah! Oops, sorry, that's a bad
light. No light.
Right, well, I'd say headlight has no headlight. He's got a light head. It's hard to say. I think that's about 6:10 here at Feed the People, which is back on its usual Monday night schedule here in front of Ray Rosa at the 119 Pacific. We're talking to
Sammy Cruz.
Sammy, you have some observations to make about the free meal at the Homeless Community Resource Center. I guess it's now called the Homeless Services Center. Karen Gillette's free meal.
Right, over on River Street. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't help but notice that with all the money in their budget, and she drives up, that line has to move as they're standing in line for food, drives up in her new Honda Accord. I've never seen her eat for five, six years, even when we were camping out there. I never saw her eat with the people. Tonight we got cold food donated from the Harvey Krishnas, and some mashed potatoes, no seconds for anybody. You figure it's a third of the month, people got their checks. There's a whole lot of people. No food for very many of them, and they run out before everybody eats. At least at St. Francis, they eat the food that they serve. And same thing over at Elm Street Mission, very nice people. But here, the ones getting the money from the city, it's the worst trash. And I can't say it over there, or I can't even go over there to eat, you know, if I tell the truth. But you ought to...
Have you heard of people being told to leave because they had critical comments about the food?
No, I would say I'd be concerned though, no. But I would just say, you know, I'm on the street through circumstances on my own doing, and it's really interesting to see what's happening out here. It's interesting to go over to Emeline Street and see all the cars that people are driving, and the amazing amount of money people are making after helping people that are poor, and what dribbles down until you're begging for seconds. Well, there's plenty of old brick, nothing to go on it.
It's called the tinkle down theory.
Yeah, I've been tinkling down on me. Of course, I snore, so when I sleep in the bushes, I'm breaking the law. So it's a big threat now as I go through the garbage cans looking for food tonight. Lots of nice enough to be feeding us some food right here. But I go through the garbage cans, it's a big threat to take me to jail, give me a place to sleep legally, because I snore a lot, bother everybody, and give me 3 meals a day, which isn't any worse than I'm getting on this, you know, getting over here at River Street one meal. Well, this morning we had cold cereal and a lot of white sugar. You imagine most people are missing a lot of their teeth out here. And water white sugar is not the best thing for them. You know, piles of donuts and cold cereal with white sugar on it. Let's keep these people a little bit healthy. I mean, the poverty level in Santa Cruz right now is $16,000 a year. That means if I make $300 a week, I'm in poverty. Well, why don't you go up to the Valley Churches up in the mountains of Valley Church and see, they put out food in the morning every morning, and people come up in their brand new RVs and just load up their trucks. One lady just loads up all the food and just feeds it to her goats. So if you're out there waiting for it in the morning at Valley Churches in Ben Lomond, it all goes to the goats. And there are people driving up in brand new cars. When I show up on foot, poor, they don't want to give me milk, they don't give me sandwiches. The people who work there all load it in their trucks, and I'm watching them. And so much for Karen Gillette, helping the people in a brand new car. Well, I've noticed she gained a lot of weight lately. And also the other people over there have access to the food and eat anytime they want.
We're talking about the staff or... That was a critical rant from your man on the street.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, we're talking to May. It's about 6:30 here at Pacific, right across from the Del Mar Theater. Hi, May. What happened to you today?
Okay, what happened is we were down at the park for the barbecue and everything. And this guy just got in that station wagon and took off with it. I asked him, so where are you going? And he didn't even answer me, so he was just going. So a minute ago, I talked to a security and I asked him, so...
Well, somebody took your car?
Yeah. And I just asked one of the security and I asked him, where can I go to ask the people that took on my car? Then they told me, says, yeah, it was blocking. It was parking right in the middle of the street, at Maple Street, and that's where they totaled it.
So you mean somebody else took your car and parked it somewhere and then the police towed your car?
Yeah.
Boy. Well, now, if your car was stolen, then that's not your fault, right? If somebody stole your car?
Yeah.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, I didn't because I figured that he was going to come back, you know, like turn around and give me a ride back.
He didn't?
He didn't. He just went on and then when I just ran into him now. And I said, where's my car? And he said, they towed it away. So I said, I have my medications, my blanket, and everything in it. Now I'm just stuck. I've got nowhere to go. The car that I was sleeping in it.
How long have you been in the area?
Maybe about 6 months, I think, now.
6 months you've been sleeping in your car?
Well, first I was sleeping in my... I just got this car September the 2nd. I think that's when I got it. And I wasn't sleeping in the car very long, maybe just for a month. And then I started going with the women's group. So, and then suddenly I went down to the where I bought the car to get my sticker. The car was stuck. I mean, the keys were stuck, and I couldn't start the car. And that was it, and I've been sleeping in the car again. I couldn't go with the women's anymore, so.
So, you probably want to... You found out from the police department it was towed.
Yeah.
And that was a conversation that happened about 2 weeks ago. Memorable to me, this was a Native American woman of Native American ancestry who I met on the street on Tuesday night. That was the last night I saw Sean Leamy alive. He had just finished a meal on the avenue. In fact, he directed this woman to me, asked if I could help. She was looking for blankets. Took her over to the host headquarters. They kind of looked at me in a bored fashion, laughing Leo, as I call the chunky host. He wanted me to mention him on the show because he believed he deserved credit for calling down to find out that the car had been towed, was being stored, that the fees were being accumulated. I suppose that was a service, although I never heard that he got her a blanket or that anything happened that helped her. I must say I didn't either.
So, you know, this woman falling now spent the night in shivering, and at least she didn't violate the blanket ban at 11 o'clock at night. We can thank her, and of course, Catherine Byers and Celia Scott for keeping the town safe on that one. I mentioned the names of these two council members because I'm going to be pushing this throughout the show, folks. If you got a telephone, walk over to it during the show and call 429-3550 and then the pound sign. That's the City Council 24-hour message line. And leave a message, because these two council members, who are the so-called liberals on our City Council, the outgoing City Council, and Byers will be the new mayor, and she will be leading the progressive faction in the incoming council. They have the power to put on the City Council agenda the sleeping ban and the blanket ban to repeal them, repeal those two vicious laws. And in fact, unless those two laws are put on the agenda by them before the old council goes out, given the current council schedule, there will not be time for a City Council to eliminate those two bans this year. So people will be freezing, people will be suffering violence, people will be suffering police harassment, people will be suffering simply because these two politicians are unwilling to bring the issue up now, even though every organization that supports progressives nearly has endorsed these repeal, the candidates have endorsed them. So go to the phone and dial 429-3550, whether you're a member of the Santa Cruz community in a permanent way or not. Just you could be concerned because you're impacted by these laws. If you have to sleep late at night or your friends do, and they're outside or in a car, they suffer tickets, they suffer the threat of arrest, they suffer the threat of violence. Again, 429-3550 and in the pound key, and leave a message that says, please put the sleeping ban and the blanket ban on the November 24th agenda and let the new council vote on it so something can be done before the council goes on vacation. The armory is not enough. The armory does not deal with the overwhelming majority of homeless people in Santa Cruz. It's the sop, it's the excuse that's used. And it isn't, I think it's opening tonight, actually, or opening on a weather contingent basis, I'm not sure. But it's not enough. And it's not even, it's not even relevant. Social services aren't the relevant issue. The issue is human rights. You don't arrest people for sleeping. Anyway, that was my little offhanded rant. But I was playing a series of interviews from the downtown, and an interview with a woman who was looking for a blanket. And the hosts said, even though they didn't mind giving people tickets for sitting and drug dealing and serve as the eyes and ears of the police, sort of the snitch force downtown, these are, their function is not to find blankets for poor people or to let them have phone services or do anything else that might help them in a real way, in a substantive way. They are simply the way the merchants put the smiling face on the cold, hard edge of a kind of decaying capitalism, you've got to say. It's interesting, I was speaking to someone before the show, my producer, Becky Johnson, and she pointed out to me that Cat'n Canary, one of the stores that was behind the downtown ordinances and put so much pressure to remove people from Cathcart and Pacific, at what was once called Hippie Corner, where there's this new structure going up and where people cannot sit and view, but actually that's where Sean and Mimi's Feed the People was still feeding near there, near Logos Books, about a quarter of a block, third of a block away. The Cat'n Canary has left town, or it's selling out because it can't afford the rents because of the rising speculation and the crisis fueled by the machinations of people like Rotkin and Kennedy and Matthews and Hernandez. And who knows, maybe even the council members who are remaining on the council, you know, who have taken a stand to some extent against this kind of development, but who Fires has taken no stand against the downtown ordinances that make it illegal for people to sit down. The downtown ordinances that not merely are vicious on their face, but that are viciously used by officers like Officer Perry, a black officer known as Robocop. His color is not relevant except to identifying, since we have so few black officers. He's a disgrace to those of us who are fighting for rights for people of all colors. I got a report which I'm hoping to play directly, which is an interview with John Telfair. John is an older man, he's about 65, 66, 67. His wife lives across the country, he travels back and forth by bus. And to make money to do that, I think he has a check, a disabled check, and he also has a little sign that asks for money. Now, John is a very modest guy, he's also an activist. He fights for the rights of people who are forcibly incarcerated or drugged in psychiatric wards, John does not beg. He holds up a sign. But I was told by John he'd received a ticket from Officer Perry. This is the same officer who was harassing folks with shopping carts over at the Morrissey Safeway. I played a long interview about that about a month ago. Well, it was Officer Perry came up to John, he tells me last night, this happened several days ago, but I heard the report last night when I was downtown. John was had vision problems. He was within about 10 or 15 feet of the change-making machine, the machine that makes quarters, that's next to the vacant lot, the only vacant lot left in the downtown area, the Rittenhouse lot, right across from Cinema 9, as you head out toward the boardwalk in the next block. It's also across from the Coffee Roasting Company. He was standing there, and the officer said, well, you're within 10 feet of a change-making machine holding a sign asking for change, therefore you're going to give you a $162 ticket. Now, he said, didn't go through all that, but he said, you're getting a ticket. In other words, he violated a man's basic right to hold up a sign, you would say, even in the absence of any information. But when you read the law, and that's our municipal code, the downtown ordinance in question, which I actually have a copy of in the studio, I'm going to pull out shortly and give the verbatim text to, because this is so egregious. But what the text more or less says is that, it's illegal to ask for spare change within 50 feet of a change-making machine, such as an ATM or a quarter-making machine, but not a newspaper rack or a parking meter. Those aren't considered change-making machines. If you ask for money, but holding up a sign is not considered aggressive panhandling or soliciting. So, Officer Perry was, let's be nice, wrong. But I don't want to be nice because I think we've got to be honest. Officer Perry's been on the job for years. Officer Perry was lying to John Telford. Officer Perry was abusing an old man because he didn't want him downtown, because he wanted to punish him. And Officer Perry gave this man a ticket that he cannot afford to pay, that he will not be able to pay. And the story doesn't end here. The story gets worse. While I talked to John Telfair, it was early evening around 7 o'clock last night, I noticed he was standing up, and we were both standing near the Bookshop Santa Cruz with that large planter near the Tom Scribner statue. You're probably aware of it, where it kind of has a flat surface you can sit on. This is actually one of the few planters that it is legal to sit on. Many of the planters it is not. Planters that are like only an inch or two off the ground that surround these little scrawny pseudo trees that they put up in place of the beautiful foliage. It used to be in downtown area. You can't sit on those low planters without getting a ticket from somebody like Officer Eveleth or Over or Headley or Garner or Officer Perry. They'll give you a ticket for sitting there for, quote, conduct on public property, part of the enforcement of the whole matrix of ordinances around the downtown ordinances. But you can sit on these waist-high planters. That's legal. But this Officer Perry, and again, lied to John Telfair. And I say lied because it was his responsibility, Officer Perry's responsibility, to know the law and not to lie to people about what the law is. He had told him that he couldn't sit there and hold his sign. He had to stand. This 67-year-old man with bad legs, bad knees, had to stand silently with a sign. I told him, John, sit down. I'll sit with you. If he comes, I'll take the sign, and he can give me the ticket. I would love to see his ass down the road. I really would. Please, sit down. And I got him to sit down for a few moments, but then Officer Eveleth double-parked across the street along with the second squad car, and they blocked traffic for 15 minutes, giving a stop sign ticket to another vehicle. And I went over there with my tape recorder to investigate, and it was a minor harassment, but it was a typical example of these cops showboating around, blocking traffic, I suppose garnering revenues for the city, but really to no valid end. Officer Eveleth explained to me all kinds of, he ran over a curb and he might have been drunk, he might have hit a pedestrian, but the guy got out of his car and he wasn't drunk, and it was obvious. It was just, Eveleth was, again, protecting his ass. He didn't have the good grace to say, okay, here's a warning, on your way, or let's go off to the side and do it, or my squad car and the squad car behind me, there were two of them, Officer Tripp was there too, aren't blocking traffic downtown in the middle of the busiest evening of the week, Friday night, about 7:30. No, no, they had to block the only lane of traffic right in front of the pizza place at the corner of Pacific and I guess it's Locust Streets. That's the corner right near the scene line. Anyway, John, when he came back, was standing, holding his sign. Old John Telfair was standing because he was afraid. He had gotten one ticket from his officer, Perry, and Officer Perry had warned him, if I see you sitting down and holding a sign asking for money, I will give you another ticket. This is quite a threat, because if a man gets two tickets for this offense in Santa Cruz within a 30-day period, that's a $1,000 fine or 6 months in jail penalty. Thank you, Scott Kennedy. Thank you, Mike Rapkin. Thank you, Catherine Byers. You all voted for that law. And that's not on the agenda either on November 24th. And that needs to be on the agenda on November 24th. Actually, all we're asking for is that the sleeping ban be on the agenda. Oh, how moderate we all are here, taking this crap from these people because they happen to be in positions of power, driving around in fancy cars. Karen Gillette isn't the only one with a fancy car, folks. Have you seen Catherine Byers' car? It's a very nice car. I'm not saying people shouldn't have nice cars, but people have to be held accountable for the votes that they cast on city council. And when they cast votes that destroy the rights of poor people, then they have to be made accountable. And I can, all the blather about coalition building and supporting scam candidates and progressive unity and all this crap means nothing if we don't see action from these people, and fast action. And that's why I say 429-3550 and then the pound sign. Tell them to put the sleeping ban and blanket bans on the agenda on November 24th, or you will be out on the 25th, and continue to come every day downtown as much as you can to protest and make the merchants' shopping season a very, very unhappy season for those merchants until they deal with the human rights violations, until they scream loud enough that their pals on the city council, including Rotkin and Matthews, yes, and Byers, yes, and all the rest of them that have done nothing for this last 4 years around this issue, until they hear them and they respond and they do something to restore human rights to people. We're not even talking about basic services, thank you very much. We're talking about human rights. We're not talking about a new multi-million-dollar, $9 million police station or a homeless center. No, no. We're just talking about giving people back the rights that they need, the rights that they are entitled to, the rights that they're currently being denied. And that is what I am ranting about today. I hope that you rant about it too, and I hope you rant about it in the right ears, 429-3550, and then the pound key, and send a message to the city council. Put the sleeping ban and the blanket bans on the agenda. They have already been endorsed by the progressive organizations. We voted in this progressive coalition to do something, and to do it before the end of December, to do it before the end of January. We need to do it now so it will have an effect during the coldest months of the year. Again, I encourage you to do that. And in the meantime, I'm going to, passing along the bad news, play a little bit of a report from John Vance of Berkeley. I think we're at the beginning of this. I want to make sure we're properly queued up. I'll skip back and play something else instead. We went to a police violence seminar, a wonderful police violence seminar in Monterey. You may have read it in the papers or heard about it, perhaps not. It didn't appear much in our local Sentinel. But in May, a man was shot by Seaside Police on the rooftop for doing nothing, for trying to get away from them, for sitting there. And I'm going to actually play you his son's description of what happened as soon as I get that tape queued up. As a matter of fact, I think I don't even have that tape queued up. That might be nice. I think I do have that tape queued up. This tape is of uneven quality. There was a seminar, and Charles Vaughn Jr., Charles Vaughn Sr.'s son, who calls himself Alate Jehute Mes, I probably pronounced it wrong, and he's working to end police brutality with a Stolen Lives Project, where by getting together with the relatives of others who have been murdered by police officers, yes, that's murdered, Art Chief Belcher, murdered with a capital M, killed without justification, without accountability, without punishment, And more important than that, the same officers are on the job and continue to circulate from department to department, even if we're fortunate enough to be able, after massive pressure, to get them off one department because of the strength of the extraordinary protections that this kind of paramilitary lobby has. Anyway, Charles Vaughn Jr. is extremely eloquent on this issue. I heard him speak a week ago at this conference, and a week ago Saturday in Monterey. We're going to hear from him and from other relatives of people who've died. And there's so much good stuff there that I promised to make a loop tape. I haven't done it yet. I hope I do it, because the station needs to hear it, and there's not really time to play it on Bathrop Square's broadside. It's several hours of wonderful interviews and good stuff. I also promised to do a tape for those who are present of the Happy John Dine Police Brutality Forum. That's a demonstration we had on Thursday. And that forum took place up at UCSC after a march from the town clock, where we had a great rally and actually some speeches relatively empty of content but full of passion from city council members, two of them, and from Steve Argue, one of the organizers of the rally, who is currently in jail for selling Street Spirit newspaper. More about that in a bit. And we're going to actually hear from Skidmark Bob Duran, who talked to Steve Argue from jail. In fact, maybe what we should do is, well, let me play a little of Charles Vaughn, and then if Skidmark Bob, if you're listening in our audience and you want to talk about what you heard from Steve, we'll try and cue up some of the interviews that I have around the arrest of Steve Argue. He was arrested the next day. He's one of the organizers of the rally which commemorated Happy John Dine's death. I should say his life, but remembered his death. Here we have an incoming call. Could be even our old man Skidmark.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Old man? What do you mean old man?
Well, we're all getting a little older there, Skidmark.
Well, I thought I'd call you before I go off to my wage slave job. But, yeah, I talked to Steve Argue, who is in San Quentin County Jail this morning, on lockdown, no doubt, because he asked for a spoon to eat his breakfast this morning, and one of the detention officers said to him that, well, you're in prison now, you don't get what you want, so they locked him down. He gets one phone call a day, I guess, so he calls me, I guess, or an hour, I'm not sure how long he gets.
Yeah, I talked to him too. He must have gotten more than one call, but I know that he was originally put in solitary for having asked the spoon. He called the cop a Nazi, said, you're acting like a Nazi. The cop took him out, threw him down, roughed him up, and put him in solitary. They held him there for a period of time. Then he was returned to what's called lockdown, which is the general population, but in his cell, where he gets an hour out a day for making whatever phone calls he needs to make. That's 1 hour out of every 24 hours to contact either his lawyer or his friends outside. And again, only by collect phone calls. You can't do it by dimes from jail.
And yet he's still innocent until proven guilty. Isn't that funny how that works?
Well, he's not only that, he's innocent, period. I mean, we're going to be hearing tapes of what happened to him. He was selling Street Spirit newspaper.
Yep.
The day after this rally that he organized, and he had been prominently featured in a photograph that morning on the second page of the Santa Cruz Sentinel next to council member-elect Crone and Sugar. He was standing right there with the two of them, and Officer Garner came over and told him to stop selling Street Spirit newspaper. He said, you know, where's your license? He said, I don't need a license to do this, which we well know because Chief Belcher has apologized for ticketing other vendors.
Looks like he'll apologize again.
Well, this time he may apologize. Maybe the city can apologize to the tune of however many tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of damages that they can get.
That would be nice.
They should be required to pay. Maybe some kind of fund for future abuses. It sounds like apologies are one thing and changes of policy are another.
Maybe taking $1 million off of that new police department they're building over there across the Loud Nelson Center, which would be a violation of civil rights, would be nice.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of blather about violation of civil rights. You see it in movies as though it's some sort of litany that hardcore criminals use when they're laughing in sort of a sinister, villainly fashion at the police. But violation of civil rights is a very real thing. It not only humiliates and degrades you and injures you in a way that can be very permanent, but it also violates the rights of other people. For instance, I went to that place where Steve Argue was trying to sell his paper before he was thrown down to the sidewalk by Officer Garner, hauled away in handcuffs, and charged, I might add, with not with selling a paper, but he was charged with, I guess, obstructing an officer and
resisting arrest. What arrest? There's no charges.
Right, and then a more serious charge, which is either, as I understand it, either terrorist threats or felony resisting arrest. They essentially did the Art Danner tactic of piling charges on top of this man, so that he now has a $5,000 bail.
Yeah, they'll keep him in jail for 4 or 5 days and, try to teach him a lesson or something. They seem to be doing that more with activists now downtown, and especially, this is very important, during this holiday season now, we're getting down to the biggest shopping day of the year, day after Thanksgiving. And,
well, I think, Bob, I hope that you and all of your fellow shoppers will be down there even the day before the biggest day. I'm going to be showing up, as I said, on November 25th if the council doesn't put the sleeping ban on the agenda on the 24th. I think we got to start doing some shopping for justice here.
Yeah, well, the thing I notice is that the police are cracking down more during these holiday seasons beforehand, and I think Sergeant Sanders has a lot to do with it. She is the sergeant that was involved in this whole thing with Steve Argue. And I noticed him, he hassled me yesterday for just leaning on a drinking fountain yesterday when I was observing the police.
Tell us what happened though.
Oh, there was some dispute over some dog and some guy got hit in the face. And the police showed up, so I just stood there and was observing, and, possibly waiting if I was going to tape some stuff because I am a journalist working for radio and I was leaning against the police. The water fountain there, and then
who should come up?
This was right in front of the metro there, across from Blue Lagoon, right there in that metro where all the bike area is, where all the bikes get locked up.
And when was?
Yesterday around, I don't know, 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Okay.
And I was just sitting there, and I was observing what was going on. I wasn't violating the law. Nobody was, having a hard time trying to get water out of the fountain. And he comes up behind me, you're not supposed to be sitting there. And I said, what? You're not supposed to be leaning against that. And I said, yeah, and I know I'd get hassled. He said, well, if I was going to hassle you, you'd have a ticket now. So, out of the mouth of Sergeant Sanders, badge number 119, there you have it. If I was getting hassled, he would have given me a ticket. So, I wish I had my tape recorder on at that time, but I didn't.
Well, I know that you mentioned that Officer Garner, the officer who arrested Steve Argue, as he dragged Steve off to jail for making such terrorist threats as, they're arresting me for selling a paper. I was just selling a newspaper. It's legal to sell a paper on the streets. These are the kinds of terrorist threats that make the police quake and tremble in their boots, apparently.
Well, the funny thing is, real quick about that, is that I've watched the Santa Cruz police arrest many people, including this officer, arrest a person saying, fuck, a guy saying, fuck you, I'm going to kill you, and they're in the moment, they're angry, obviously, and the officer should have restraint in order not to file a terrorist threat thinking this person's going to actually kill them. Because how many drunk people that they arrest scream at the police, tell them they're going to kill them. I know someone personally that gets their gun all the way from a mental thing saying he's going to kill the police. They don't file anything. They don't file resistance. They just charge him for that charge. But he put something very personal against me. And I think it had to do with an incident that happened about a week prior.
Tell us about it.
Down in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, there was a gentleman that was drinking in public, and I have walked down the street at that time, and I saw Officer Garner there talking to this guy.
That's the officer who later arrested Steve Argue.
Yes, same officer. Kind of looked like a small Marty over, but I don't know. They were talking to this man, he was running for one. Found out I did get a search clause or something, and then the guy kind of got a little out of hand. Steve came out, and the guy had him in cuffs, Officer Garner had the guy in cuffs, and was pushing down on his cuffs, and the guy was getting a little loud, and he was running around and doing anything. And then Steve said, stop hurting him, he said, you're going to get arrested, and they had those few words at that moment. And then I showed up there, and I interviewed him a little bit, and I'm having to check out and listen to the tape again, and I heard him before.
Make sure you keep the tape. It may be valuable in a future lawsuit.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
But I think he took exception to him, and they also saw him in the march and various demonstrations. And also, Headley's had a few words with Steve. He's been down in Lincoln and Pacific where they arrested and charged people. Not arrested, but charged people for a tax action without a license and all that kind of thing. So he's one of the newer kind of activists that are around him, so I think right now they're trying to teach him a lesson and keeping him, charging him with these cases, these charges, which are going to drop, they're obviously going to drop something, at least one of them, at least the terrorist threat is going to drop. I've been charged with terrorist threats before, too.
Tell us about that.
Actually, by Officer Carey.
That's Officer Carey, the one who killed Happy John Dine.
Yeah. Down almost the same area near the bookshop Santa Cruz I was singing songs. Stuart Martin, who is the manager of the ID building at Great Design.
A notorious anti-homeless manager, yeah.
Right. He called the police and told them that I was singing these songs about wanting to kill him and kill all pigs and blow up the ID and shoot down Neil Coonerty from the bookshop Santa Cruz, and the police believed him and wrote it down. They didn't hear this. They heard it from second hand from him. And I was picked up later on a warrant as I was just walking down the street, not even playing my guitar, wasn't doing anything, wasn't breaking the law, just walking down the street. Sergeant Peely and two other police officers come up, grab me, and they said, yeah, warrant for my arrest, I'm charged with something. Actually, at that time, it was disturbing the peace, but the original charge was terrorist threat and disturbing.
And you saw the police report, which he was actually trying to make a case.
Right.
This is Officer Connor Carey, that man with such a fine reputation who was constantly praised at city council and other places as one who would never have intentionally attempted to shoot down a hippie-type fellow like Happy John Dine. Somebody must have made some mistake. This is the same officer who people reported to me in 1991 in the middle of the Iraqi genocide by Bush. Came rushing to the clock, shouting, we just kicked some hippie butt, something to that effect. It's an old issue of my publication, The Street Shit Sheet. So, if Officer Carey is listening, and if these charges are false, I will be happy to have him on the air to refute them, or if the Police Officers Association representative wants to talk about this, nothing would make me happier, because I think that if officers are being misrepresented, and I think that they should be properly represented. But I can tell you that when I saw Officer Garner 2 hours after he arrested Steve Argue on Friday, and I told him, you are wrong to arrest someone for selling a street paper when your police chief has told you that's legal behavior, and he said, you know, essentially he disputed that, and I said, fine, and I began selling the street paper myself in front of him in a loud and clear fashion, doing exactly what Argue did, and he wouldn't arrest me because I had to be lucky enough to have a person with a video camera nearby videoing the whole thing. We see we have an officer who's engaging in selective enforcement, who seems to be either targeting Argue because of his, I don't know, maybe his picture was in the paper, maybe it was his prior thing with Garner that happened before. And it's really sad that we have to talk about these officers, you know, by name and personally, because it's clear that they're going to be a whole new crop of names that they'll throw in even if we kick these guys out. And I don't know, what's the answer, Bob?
Well, we're just learning these new officers that are on the downtown. They switch them around every so often. And like I said, I think it has a lot to do, especially with the season we're in, the holiday season, and I think we should encourage people to go out and not shop on the mall for one thing, because the Downtown Association in the past, when they had their little yellow card program, whatever.
The real change, not spare change. Freeze out the panhandlers program.
Supposedly that was what phase one of their little homeless project, and then we also had word from a reliable source that phase two is supposed to be much more stricter, and I believe now phase two is probably into effect.
They wanted
to drive everybody off the mall.
Well, could it be that phase two, and again we're speculating here because I haven't heard any specifics, but we do know that according to what I hear from an informed source, the police met with the judges and the Downtown Association beginning of this year and decided to strictly enforce stay away and what I call banishment orders for Pacific Avenue.
As well as they want a grand jury to investigate the drug problem on the mall. And the only problem, the drug problem on the mall is that there are no drugs on the mall. I mean, I'm not saying that people should take drugs, but it's gone down considerably, especially if you take before the earthquake and then, you know, after the earthquake. There's like, it's the mall has been totally pretty much gentrified and sterilized as it is, and they're just like nipping the butt of these small little things, trying to get rid of the activists, trying to get rid of any kind of free-thinking people that they may have, counter-thinking people that are on the mall, because the DTA doesn't like that, but you know, they would probably enclose the mall, like a mall where I used to grow up, down in Southern California. They just enclosed the outside mall and made it a private mall like Capitola Mall, where you can't have people out there tabling for political things or people panhandling or people enjoying playing hacky sack or something. You know, and it's just, I don't know. People need to be aware, and I wish people would come to visit Steve Argue. He's in the Santa Cruz County Jail. Anybody with an ID, hopefully you don't have warrants, because they will run you if you go to visit somebody in jail.
You know, Bob, I don't think they can visit until he's been there at least
3 days.
Is it 3 days?
Yeah.
So maybe tomorrow they can start visiting.
Yeah, he may be in there till Tuesday, because I don't think he'll be on the Monday docket, although he may be.
That's Steve Argue, A-R-G-U-E, like in arguing.
And it would be good to have people there for his arraignment, to have, like, packed the courtroom with people, because this is bullshit. We can't have this going on in our city. They've already found that, you know, the chief of police already apologized for the first time they did this, and now they've got a whole new bunch of charges just for this one act. And the whole reason why they approached him was because he was selling the Street Spirit magazine. And now he's in jail on felony charge. So they're just coming after us from all sides, and we need to watch out. Anyway,
well,
I gotta go.
I'm gonna be down on the mall probably later today for those who want to join me. I invite you, Bob, if you can break away from your wage slave job.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Thank you.
All righty, Bob. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and that, of course, was Skidmark Bob, who has his own show, which, if I had the schedule handy, I could tell you when it is, but as usual, the schedule has disappeared. I think, actually, he has a show Friday night. Is it 9 to midnight or 9 to 3 hours? It could be. If not, no doubt I'll get a nasty phone call soon. Yes, I was telling Bob, I'm going to be down at the what's called Hippie Planter, which is near New Leaf and Juice World. I'm trying to kind of keep an eye on what's going on, gather some...